come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
Following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2015 Women's Bible Study in the Book of Mark, titled Servant, Sacrifice, Savior. If you'd like more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get into the study.
Father, as we just get into this portion of our text today, Lord, we want to keep our eyes on you, Lord. It's easy to be distracted. It's easy to go in a different direction. It's easy to get off on all kinds of things. And Lord, we just give this time to you. We want to bless you. Lord, I pray for my words to be yours and yours alone. Father, I pray, God, that you would hear our cry, Lord, as we come before you, Lord. I know every one of us have come in with all kinds of, life. We came in with life, Lord. And sometimes life gets us distracted from the things that you want to speak to us, Lord. So keep us aware of what you want to say and help me to speak those words in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we start chapter 14, it is Wednesday. It is Wednesday in this last week before Jesus goes to the cross. So we're dealing with Wednesday. In 2 days, it's going to be Passover. Passover will usher in that 7-day feast of unleavened bread. And we just learned this morning, if any of you had questions as to whether or not it goes from Passover right into the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days, and that's how that all works. So that's what was going on. I'm going to do my very best to keep my teaching very short today because I want to center in on the thing that's the most important in our chapter. And the thing that's most important in our chapter is when they took communion, when they received communion. So we are going to receive communion this morning. And so I'm going to try to keep my teaching to a minimum. I know that we've just gotten through Easter. You've gone over this already. You already know what is in this chapter, and somebody else has already taught it to you. So we'll just go over it briefly. So they are in the position where the religious leaders want to put Jesus to death. They are set on that. They want to put him to death, but they don't want to do it during the holidays, during Passover time, because people still thought that there were many who thought he was a prophet. And so they did not want to do it during this time. However, Father God wanted it done at this time because he is the Passover lamb. And so Father God made sure that everything went as it was supposed to go, and that Jesus would die at the appropriate time, be killed as the Lamb of God that was killed at that very time, Matthew 26:2. They are at Simon the leper's house eating. Simon the leper, had he invited him as a thank you? Was this the one leper out of 10 that came back and said, thank you for healing me? Is this the same one that we were talking about earlier on? And I believe that it is. And there they were in the house. And again, there is an unnamed woman who comes in. Now, I had a little bit of a challenge with this. Because as I looked at this, and I shouldn't be challenged by this, I'm sure, because all the commentaries say that it probably was Mary of Bethany. Okay. However, if you go to John 12:3, it talks about Mary of Bethany anointing his feet with oil 6 days earlier with the same commentary that went with it. The same sort of thing that the disciples said. So, is this Mary? I don't know. Maybe this really is just an unnamed woman. the important thing to look at this is to see that this woman gave all of what she had. She gave everything. It was worth 300 denarii, which was 1 year's wages. She gave it all. In this text, it says that she poured it on his head, completely anointing him as a priest, as a king. So I don't challenge that. I don't have to know who this person was. That's my point. I spent a lot of time trying to figure out who this person was. I'll tell you. But it's not important. The important thing is this unnamed woman, whoever she was, gave everything that she had to Jesus. And that's what we're required to do. We are asked to do. We are asked to give it all to Jesus. And, of course, they complained about it, murmured about it, said it should be sold and given to the poor. They had no intention of giving it to the poor. Jesus takes this opportunity to say that this woman, whatever she has done right here, is going to go on throughout eternity, that we will all know about it. And we do have that in every one of the Gospels where it covers it. Her name is mentioned, or her act is mentioned in there, that she was anointing him for his burial and that she had given it all to the Lord. The woman wanted to show this kindness while she could. She might not be able to care for his body in death, so she would show her love while he was still alive. I want, and I've heard other people say this before, I want flowers before I die. You know? Don't bring me bunches of flowers after I'm dead. Those flowers are for whoever's attending. You know, I just bring me flowers now while I'm alive. But she appreciated him. She brought him flowers, so to speak, at this time. She had the time to do it, and she took advantage of the time. I had just come across a little phrase that said, "No one who gave their best ever regretted it." No one who ever gave their best. No one who gave their best ever regretted it. And that is the truth in all of our lives. I don't think any of us have gone after we have done our very, very best at something and gone, "Oh, man, I shouldn't have tried so hard." No, no one who's done their best will ever regret it. The fragrance of that perfume goes down through generation. Jesus said that it would be memorialized worldwide, and she has in the gospel records. Then in verse 10, we have Judas coming up. Judas had lived with the Lord Jesus for at least a year. He had received from the Lord Jesus his kindness, his love. He had seen him do miracles. He knew this man. What happened? What happened? Judas was deceived into believing a lie from the enemy, and he played right into the enemy's hands. And yet, at the same time, God's in complete control. Because had this not happened, Jesus would not have gone to the slaughter at the appropriate time. So it all comes together. It says that woe to that man that would do this, and it would be better if he were had never been born. But it's probably, and by verse 12, it's probably Thursday of Passover week. The disciples had no idea that this was going to be the fulfillment, the end, the last Passover that Jesus was going to be with them. They didn't realize that. They asked the Lord for his directions as to where to hold the Passover. He sent them to Jerusalem with instructions to look for a man carrying a pitcher of water. He would be recognized right away because it would be very common, as you know, for the women to be carrying the water. So they came to the man who was carrying the water, and they said that where should we go to set up the Passover for the teacher? And the man took them right to the proper house. They would ask the owner to show them to a room where the teacher could eat the Passover with his disciples. The disciples and the Lord have instant ready access to the room. Instant ready access to the room. I wonder, does he have instant ready access to every room in my heart? Does he have instant, ready access to me? Do I allow that? Then in verse 17, that same evening, he came with his 12 disciples to the upper room, which had been prepared as they reclined and they ate. Now, this is how I know that you've been, when Bill has explained it, the tables were in a U shape. The two servers would be on this end and on this end. So it would be John and Peter, was it? That it says in the other, another gospel. Who they were. So to the two disciples that were serving, who had gone to set up everything, so they're on this end and on this end. Right next to John is Jesus. Right next to Jesus is Judas. And so that's the setting in there. And so they reclined and they ate, and Jesus announced that one of the disciples would betray him. And I love that all of the disciples, maybe not Judas, but all of the other ones, it says, were aware that they were capable of doing this. Oh, no, I would never do that. I would never do that. Every one of them are going, is it me? Is it me? They realize their own inability to stand against things, that they needed that strength of Jesus. And then Jesus goes on and he tells them that it's going to be the one that he gives the bread to, that dipped in the meat juice, that is, the one to whom he gave the piece of bread. And the Son of Man was going forward to his death. As predicted, he said the doom of his betrayer would be great. As I've already said, it would be better if he hadn't been born. And after taking the bread, verse 22, Judas went out into the night. John 13, 30. Went out into the darkness. Went out to set up Jesus for the slaughter. Did he know that he was setting him up for the slaughter? I don't think so. I think Judas was a dishonest man. I think Judas was an insincere man. But I don't think he set out to see Jesus murdered. It does say that it would be better that he hadn't been born. Did it mean that he was created for the purpose of going to hell? I don't think that either. I don't know. Is Judas going to be in heaven? I don't know, because I don't know what his last seconds with the Lord were like. I don't know what he spoke to God. I don't know what he spoke to the Father. Did he seek forgiveness? I don't know. None of us know. We are all able to receive forgiveness. The only thing that we cannot receive forgiveness for is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is not accepting Christ. That's the only thing that we don't get forgiveness for. So, moving on. So then, Jesus then instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. And that its meaning is beautifully laid out here. It says he took the bread, he broke the bread, and he gave the bread. He took the bread, he took humanity upon himself. He broke the bread. He was about to be broken on the cross, and he gave the bread. He gave himself for us. Of course, the bread signifies the body, and the juice or the wine signifies his blood that was shed for our sins. That's the center of this chapter. That's what's important in this chapter, not the woman's name, not whether or not Judas was saved. The important thing that's going on here is Jesus is going to say, this is the last time I'm going to take this with you guys before I enter into my kingdom. So this morning, we're going to enter into a time of communion. And I want us all to understand what it is that we're doing. Most of you were probably here on Good Friday and took communion at that time, and it was a great time to be together. But whenever we do this, Jesus said, whenever you do this in 1 Corinthians, you do this in remembrance of me. You are putting your mind on me. But it means absolutely nothing if you haven't accepted him as your Lord and your Savior, means absolutely nothing. I know I've said it before. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're just having a teeny tiny little itty bitty snack. A little bit of bread, a little bit of juice, without meaning. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did, you are remembering what he did for you, and you will be received by him. So we're going to enter into communion right now. And I noticed in your homework that you finished, you start with verse 26, so we won't even cover the fact that they sang probably from the Psalms 113 or 118. So Bethany is going to come up and lead us in some worship time while we are getting the elements. If the gals will come up, and Lord Jesus, as we just look at these elements that we have here, Lord, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we would be very aware of the price that you paid for our sins, that we would not take it lightly, that we would remember you, Lord, that we would remember you, that when we take the bread, when we put it into our mouth and chew it and know that it's broken, a representation of your body, not a bone was broken, but your body was broken for us. And Lord, as we drink the cup, we remember that it was your blood that was shed for my sin. For my sin. You took it upon yourself, Lord, and we are thankful. And we remember you. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.